Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. I am in San Diego. I am in San Francisco. You know, Jay, usually during the season, I forget what day it is, but here we are, one series in, and I have the wrong city. I'm ready to come home, evidently. Jay Posner is in San Diego. He's the sports editor, my boss. Jay, the Padres took 3 of 4 from the Diamondbacks, just like they always do at the start of a season. So what the heck does that mean? That's a not a very good team. Like, I can't find, when Kettle Marte is booting balls and going like 1 for 14, I can't find very much nice to say about the Diamondbacks. But nonetheless, some very interesting things to come out of the series that opened the season for the Padres. Where do you want to start?
I guess we should start. They were basically one inning away from pretty much a perfect weekend. I mean, obviously one big inning because it led to a loss. But outside of that, I mean, I guess maybe if they had traded for a closer more than 12 hours before first pitch, they would have been prepared for that or something. I don't know. But that's done. They lost the game. You can never complain about winning 3 out of 4 against anybody, good team, bad team, whatever. I mean, we talked a lot last year about how they weren't able to beat bad teams.
Yeah.
Arizona was one of those teams. They look like they're going to be another. They're going to be bad this year, but the Padres, you know, went in there. They won 3 out of 4 on the road. I don't think there's too much to complain about. So I think you have to start with the starting pitching.
Yes.
You could say, oh, I've never seen anything like that, except in this case, you really never have. never seen anything like Yu Darvish and Sean Manaea the other night, those two nights, back-to-back no-hitters, had no problem either night with when they were taken out. As you know, don't like to be terribly critical of managers and pitching coaches for when guys are used and not used. I think that's one thing we try to stay away from because we just don't have the information. It's easy to sit there and say, oh, you know, Darvish could have thrown another inning, or, you know, look how strong Manaea looked, or any of that kind of stuff. You know, none of us know. See, even with Joe Musgrove the night after that, where he was in the 70s for pitches, we don't know. We don't know how many pitches they were supposed to throw. We don't know how they were feeling. So look, it seemed like those were about the right time for an opener to take guys out. And, you know, both times it landed in Tim Hill's lap and he didn't handle it so well, but hey, you know, he didn't give up any runs either. So it wasn't a big deal, but I think you have to start there. I mean, obviously a great move to pick up Manaea, especially now with, you know, not only Clevinger out, but, you know, who knows how long Blake Snell's going to be out.
Yeah,
and by the way, Blake Snell's not pitching Friday. I can't believe he could say, I'm pitching Friday. I'm going to be there Friday. I fully expect not to see Blake Snell. And I do want to see who pitches Friday, and I do hope that it's a certain left-hander.
I don't see how it's not, man, there's a lot there to start with, but I don't see how it's not Mackenzie Gore. I don't see any sort of service time manipulation. The Padres have never done that. Everyone knows, everyone in that clubhouse knows that Mackenzie Gore is ready. And that's, I don't see how it's not Mackenzie Gore if Blake Snell can't go. Now to be, you know, to have the whole story here, Blake Snell has had this thing with his adductor. He calls it a groin. That's what an adductor is, basically. And he's had it before. He has pitched through it. It's not really anything. It's more like a, I hate to use the word sensation considering where it's at, but it's more like some discomfort down there.
Easy now.
it's more like some discomfort down there. And yesterday it was precautionary, but nonetheless, you don't mess around this early in the season. He couldn't pitch, and so he's going to play catch today. I don't know what he'd have to do to convince them that he doesn't go on the IL. Remember, this month, pitchers can still go on the 10-day IL. Put him down. You've got a couple times that he can throw, and then he makes his first start. The Sean Manaea thing, it's like, my gosh, I never even asked anyone, though it was in my notebook, you know, keep an eye on it. I never even asked anybody, what are you going to do with all this starting pitching? Because I knew. They were going to trade one, and you never complain about too much starting pitching. So that Manaea trade, absolutely. I don't care what happens with Sean Manaea. That was amazing. Certainly great timing, but you know, they got themselves an innings eater. It was just absolutely what they needed to do. But I do think you got to start with Blake Snell going down. It was really interesting. trying to get Joe Musgrove to talk about the promise of this starting staff. And by the way, when Joe Musgrove goes out and throws six innings, allows two runs, and we're talking about it being disappointing on the third game of the season, that tells you how well it started. But what is the one thing that Joe Musgrove answered when talking about the promise of this rotation? He's bullish on it. Health, because of what they went through last year. And Boom, the next day, Blake Snell can't make his start. So it's just, you know, let's keep an eye on it.
Well, and when we talked about it, you know, during spring training with all the, even before Manaea, it was like, oh, they have all this extra starting pitching. Obviously, it was Paddock then, but they had him. But still, you can never, as we saw last year, and we said it over and over, you can never have enough starting pitching. You know, the first thing I thought of when the Snell thing yesterday was weird, because I had the game like on my sort of on the side screen because I was watching the Masters, and all of a sudden the bottom of the first came up, and I looked up and there was a right-hander pitching. I was like, wait a minute, what? Because I didn't have the sound on or anything. I didn't know what had happened. And so then I started looking, and then the first thing I thought of was, okay, his turn comes up Friday. Mackenzie Gore pitched Saturday night. It sure seems to set up for a Mackenzie Gore debut on Friday night, assuming Blake Snell can't pitch. The other guy, and we didn't mention him, I just mentioned him in passing, but we can't forget, is Yu Darvish, because he wasn't completely sharp the other night. I mean, he did have four walks, I think only three strikeouts, but he looked a lot more like the Yu Darvish we saw the first half of last season, as opposed to the Yu Darvish who was obviously struggling you know, with his health after that. And that's so big for this team. If he's going to go out there and pitch, look, he's not going to throw, you know, six no-hit innings every night, but for him to go out there and pitch six or seven innings and allow a couple runs or whatever it might be every, you know, every 5 days, is that's so big for this team. I mean, he is their top of the rotation guy. Yeah. I think you would still consider him the top guy, even over Manaea at this point, given his history. But to have those two guys at the top, and if you're going to have, you know, Joe Musgrove as well as he pitched last year, and put him as say the quote third starter, that's a pretty good group to lead off with, and you know, and then see what happens. Clevinger and Snell, the biggest thing is going to be the health with both of those guys.
Yeah, and they're just in a better they're in a better position right now. Mackenzie Gore was not pitching well last year. Some of the other depth that they had expected to have, heck, we're already past the day where Adrian Morahone, you know, had gone out and he had Tommy John surgery about a week later. So they're in much better shape, but nonetheless, we're four games in, and as Bob Melvin said, we don't have depth anymore, or we don't have too many pitchers anymore.
Right. Well, and they have Nick Martinez tonight, who we haven't seen at all. And
yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect from Nick Martinez. You know, look, Robert Suarez looked great in spring training as well, as a guy who pitched in Japan last year. And Suarez was overwhelmed on Thursday night. I mean, you hear guys talk about the moment being too big for someone. And on Thursday night, the moment was too big for him. He was better yesterday, you know, despite the one bomb that he gave up to Walker. But Nick Martinez, I guess we'll have to see how he reacts tonight. It's a little different situation. He comes in from the start of a game. It's going to be certainly a cold night. I wouldn't expect a big crowd to be out there. You know, doesn't seem like quite as much pressure as what Suarez went into, you know, on Thursday night, even with the Diamondbacks drawing only 35,000. That's for their opener. That's still, I'm sure, the atmosphere, and especially once he started struggling, the crowd started to get into it. And, you know, we'll see what, I don't know, you saw Martinez pitch all spring. I didn't. What should we expect?
He has four okay pitches, but that's the thing. I'm telling you, there are four pitches that all spring he was throwing for strikes and around the zone and getting weak contact. And I mean, four pitches. We talk about guys having four pitches. Like, Nick Martinez legitimately threw four really good pitches. So that makes him a you know, a guy who has a chance to have a good start every time, because hitters have to think about those four good pitches. This isn't Brian Mitchell. He seems to be better than Brian Mitchell from the start. You know, we're not like pumping him up like, man, that's one of the best curveballs I've seen.
Boy, oh, there's a blast from the past there.
But Nick Martinez appears to be legit. Like here we are saying again, for the third straight year, and gosh, Joe Musgrove essentially in the second half had to try to carry that rotation. But we said at the beginning of last year, just like you just said, if Joe Musgrove's your number three starter, that's a good rotation. I think going in, you can have some confidence if Nick Martinez is your number five starter. You know, now you said it. I don't need to add any more. This will be his first start. No one that says like, oh, hey, I saw Nick Martinez. Oh, you saw him in 2016. No, you didn't see Nick Martinez. It's a different delivery. Right. It's more pitches. They're better pitches. So this is a new guy coming, to pitch in the major leagues.
And he's been here. I mean, the difference, I guess, is he's been here before. Yep. This is different than Suarez.
He seems very comfortable
in the big leagues. And so, and look, Martinez doesn't need to be Darvish or Manaea. No. He doesn't have to be lights out every 5 days, but you would like to see a guy, you know, again, go six innings most of the time. Maybe not tonight. It's his first start, but on a regular basis, if he goes six innings and he gives up, you know, two, three, four runs each time, somewhere in there, that's what you need. But they need a guy that you can count on every 5 days to be, you know, to be out there and to just be decent. At this point, and you know, we'll get to the offense in a minute, but I mean, then you hope that they come around.
You said two, three, four runs. Okay, so they give up four, and they're facing a good pitching staff, which they are now.
Yeah,
this offense has some questions.
Yeah, but an average
nice things.
Again, I don't expect Martinez to have a 3.1 ERA.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure the Padres would love that, but
they have to score.
At some point, they're going to have to do what they did yesterday and score some runs. Now, I have seen offense is down quite a bit around baseball for the first weekend. Incredibly, incredibly small sample size for all of this stuff. There's no I don't think you can read anything into anything right now. We knew going in what the Padres' issue was going to be, especially without Tatis. And guys are going to have to pick up. I mean, Profar was a guy the first weekend who came up and hit a couple of big home runs, and Alfaro, you know, came through, and Austin Nola has, I think, four hits and a few RBIs, and Hosmer had some big hits. So again, it's just going to have to go around and around, and different guys are going to have to hit at different times. And
exactly.
And Trent Grisham can't keep taking strike three. You know, it's nice to be patient, but at some point swing the bat.
He's identified that. It's funny, you know, all last year, I'm like, Trent, you being too patient. Oh, Trent, you being too selective. No. This spring. Hey, Trent, what's up? Hey, I was being too selective.
Right. And then
you knew it, but and that's always how it happens. A guy gets a little separation, you get a new hitting coach, all that. But you know what? Right here in the beginning of the season, he's obviously still getting his feet under him, because that's exactly what's happening. It's funny you say you can't read in it. You can't. And, like, I'm all getting excited by how Luke Voit, you know, I'd like to maybe see him put a ball over the fence, just because I'm really worried about those violent swings. I think he needs to make some contact, you know, just to not hurt himself. But his patience at the plate, the way that he plays the game, I really like it. Now, again, I got to remind myself, we're four games in. Let's see Luke Voit keep that up and be healthy over time. I think the home runs will come. They have his entire career. You're right. Like Eric Hosmer. All right, look, yes, I'm the chief defender of Eric Hosmer. Okay, great. The guy has started out hot now for the third straight season. You can't read anything into that, to him having three really good games. You can't read into anything. Ha-Sung Kim. Now, late in spring and early here, Ha-Sung Kim just looks more comfortable. I still don't know that he has a major league swing to be anything more than a, you know, 220, 230 hitter, but he looks more comfortable. And clearly, late in spring and early here, that is helping him to have some more success at the plate.
Yeah, and look, guys, you know, the numbers were flashing by on the screen for anybody watching, but you know, there are some guys that didn't do anything over the weekend offensively. Myers, Cronenworth, you know, Kim, you know, those type of Machado was just okay, although he didn't get a lot to hit.
No, but he did not.
You cannot read anything. I mean, look, if they had lost 3 out of 4 over the weekend, I'm sure the world would have been ending for some folks, but you just can't read too much into anything, not just now, but for a month, 2 months, whatever. Now we'll see trends develop as it goes. And, you know, right now there are a couple of guys that are, you know, not looking good, but, you know, a guy goes 3 for 4 tonight, and all of a sudden, instead of hitting 176, he's hitting 420 or whatever it is. So it's just way too early to look at anything like that. And the same with the pitching. The good thing, as we've noted with the pitching, though, is these guys have a track record,
a history,
and to see Darvish, you know, healthy and pitching like that, and to see that Manaea looks like the guy you thought they were, you know, they were going to get, is always good to see. And he certainly has experience pitching against the Giants in the Bay Bridge series, so he'll be out there. I think it's Wednesday afternoon.
Yep.
Darvish tomorrow night, and Manaea on Wednesday, and that would leave Musgrove for the home opener on Thursday.
What a couple nights that'll be. Musgrove for the home opener and Mackenzie Gore possibly for Friday. Wow. Jay, one thing we will not do in the first 2 months of the season is dismiss the Giants, as we and virtually everyone else, including people who know a lot more than us. It's one thing that people just kept marveling about even in spring training is the Giants, baseball people I'm talking about. Like,
right.
That was out of nowhere as much as anyone can remember. So they're a similar team. I think maybe their pitching got their rotation. I don't know. I feel like it still is good. They got Rodon there. I mean, he looked incredible in spring. And so the Padres had 3 of the 14 pitchers who have gone 6 innings in a game. So 14 starters have gone at least 6 innings in a game so far. Padres have 3 of them. The Giants have 2. Now the Padres only see 1 of them. And that will be Logan Webb, who on the Giants opening day went 6, gave up a run and 5 hits. He's not very good. gave up 5 hits to the Marlins, but it'll be Martinez against Alex Woods, lefty tonight. It will be Yu Darvish against Alex Cobb. I'll have to keep those straight. Guardians, Indians. Yu Darvish, Alex Cobb tomorrow, and then Sean Manaea and Logan Webb. That's a really good matchup on Wednesday.
Yeah, the 3 guys the Giants are throwing out there are all good pitchers.
Both 2 of them Alex's. Making their debut because they did not start until Friday.
Right. Both Alexes have pitched well in the past. I know Wood is left-handed, Cobb is right-handed.
Wood is left-handed, Cobb is right-handed.
Could start with that, but yeah, and it's always, you know, always interesting to see the Giants. I mean, I know their offense hasn't done very much early on, but they still won 2 out of 3. That's kind of what you expect out of them. They have the rookie that debuted, I think, yesterday in left field. So always interested to see, you know, to see a guy who's supposed to be a big prospect.
You bring up, Jay, what the Padres need to do, and it's what Bob Melvin has talked about they need to do. They need to find ways to win, do just enough offensively, pitch well. Tatis is out. The Giants, that's what they do. I mean, I think Bob Melvin, he's managed in parts of 18 seasons. I think that what the Giants did is like one of the most fascinating things he's ever seen. He just loves that. And we're different guy all the time. So whatever, I'm not dismissing the Giants anymore.
Certainly not this early. I do think, you know, one thing we did not talk about, because of course it happened after we did our last podcast, because there's always a move. There were 2 trades that were made after the last one. Victor Caratini was sent off to Milwaukee. We certainly saw over the weekend, at least, why the Padres like Jorge Alfaro. And that was a great note you had today in the newsletter about Alfaro being told that him and Chris Matt had made the first ever all-Colombian starting battery. And you could just see reading on the screen, you could kind of picture the smile on his face.
He was so,
I'm sure you saw.
I was touched. I really was touched by,
that's really
first
cool.
Off, Nabil Chris Matt is one of the nicest human beings ever. And I grade these guys on a curve. Now, relief pitchers are generally the nicest of the ball players, the most down to earth, right? But these Nabil is phenomenal, and Jorge Alfaro is seems like a really jovial, fun guy too. But that was very, very important to them Look, there's only seven Colombian-born major leaguers right now. There have only been 28 in history. I don't know that any of us can put ourselves in their place. That was really neat. What happened?
Yeah, so that was cool. And then obviously the bigger trade was the opening morning. I guess early, as we both
yes,
know.
Yes, it was. It was coming together late, but you know, with all those rumors and reports out there, I think that you didn't know that it was going to happen. Certainly didn't happen until after the Twins had had Taylor Rogers throw in the bullpen on Wednesday, because their game got snowed out for opening day. So it was like, all right, yeah, you can throw. And then he wasn't available on Thursday. Taylor Rogers, who was, I'm going to write about him today. Don't want to give it away at all. He's a closer, finally. We can be assured of that, he is the Padres' closer. He will not. So Taylor Rogers, a left-handed pitcher, his twin brother, a right-handed pitcher, relief pitcher for the Giants. And that's what Taylor Rogers said. The first thing he thought about was, I get to see my brother more. Well, his brother's wife is having a baby. Taylor Rogers, I'm pretty sure that Taylor Rogers broke the news that Tyler Rogers is on maternity leave this week, so he won't be able to see his brother right away. But he's an interesting guy. And I'll tell you what, he had a 9-pitch save and a 10-pitch save. Now, they were the probably least stressful type of saves, up by 3 runs in the 9th inning. If you're a closer, you should probably be able to come in and nail that down. Some good defensive plays behind him by Jake Cronenworth the second night, and CJ Abrams, we haven't talked about, the first night.
Right.
There's another move, right? Like, all spring, you're like, Robert Suarez, okay. Emilio Pagan, okay. Are they going to do this? Like, they have this left fielder they need. They might want some starting pitching. How are they going to swing for a closer? And then, boom, got that closer.
Well, remember I asked you, would you be comfortable if the first night of the season they went out with a 1-run lead in the 9th inning and Robert Suarez was on the mound? So, fortunately we got our answer the first night. But Taylor Rogers is a legit guy, lefty power pitcher, certainly needed at the if you are of the mind that you need one closer and you don't want to do it by committee, he's a guy that can close, and he's going to get out lefties and righties, and certainly has anyway. Now, the issue of, I think he's a free agent after the year. Manaea's a free agent after the year, so a couple other pitchers are free agents after the year.
Musgrove.
So. Yeah. So this is and Clevinger as well. So this is a sort of win now mentality for sure. And so it just sort of ratchets up the pressure, if you will, that this is a year where the Padres need to do well, and set off to a good start for whatever 4 games is worth. But the Rogers deal, I mean, they gave up Paddock, they gave up Pagan. I think there's another player that's supposed to be heading out, right?
Yes.
Player to be named later, but they also gained $6 million in cash to help with the payroll as well. So we'll see if that pays dividends down the line in being able to acquire, somebody maybe in June or July.
Yeah, I think that's almost without question at some time, maybe even sooner than that. But before the deadline, that's something the Padres are sort of, that AJ Preller sort of like, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't I? Of course, there's a reason you got a catcher DHing, right? There's a reason that when Hosmer's on the bench, he's your biggest bat on the bench. Mm-hmm. It's not a very deep team, especially.
No, but
Tatis Jr. out. But so let's do our last thing, and I'll segue into.
No, wait, hold on. Right. I want to jump real quick because you mentioned Nola DHing. I like the idea of Bob Melvin leading off Nola, having Nola as a DH, batting him second. Nola hits left. I mean, his record is he hits lefties. If he's going to hit lefties and he's going to have an on-base percentage, I think his career is around .375 against lefties. Why shouldn't he be hitting higher in the order as a catcher? This isn't the days of Ricky Henderson, leading off and stealing second and bunting him to third, or stealing third or whatever. You know, you don't need to worry so much about that anymore. And NOLA's not pokey. It means not fast, but I don't have any problem hitting him high in the order like that. He should be getting more at bats, and I like that idea. The only move I really questioned, and I don't know whether there were two, Trent Grisham bunted with a runner at second the other night and nobody out, and C.J. Abrams did not bunt with a runner at second. And I just found that it seemed kind of backwards, especially I almost had a bigger problem with Grisham bunting than anything because he was facing a right-handed pitcher. And that's a guy, Trent Grisham should be either, I mean, he should be swinging the bat. He should be either getting the guy over, getting a hit, that sort of thing. I didn't like that.
That I didn't ask about, Jay, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was just Trent Grisham being Trent Grisham.
I wouldn't either.
At that point.
I wouldn't either.
And but Bob Melvin had absolutely no interest in bunting C.J. Abrams there, feeling like that they had a chance to score multiple runs. He liked that. What he did want at the very worst is C.J. Abrams to get the runner over, which he should have done. And to your point that perhaps, but again, that's just on me. I mean, Bob Melvin wanted no part of bunting. I think your that's point great. Is it was C.J. Abrams, a rookie, did not have a hit yet. He was facing a pitcher who did exploit him in that situation. Yeah. And so that's, I think, why you were leaning toward the bunt in that situation.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, there's not many people hate the bunt more than I do, and it's very rare that I would ever call for it. But that was one time where I could see it. And I understand why Melvin – I understand his thinking exactly because that's my thinking all the time. Don't bunt because you're costing yourself possibly a big inning. But that makes the Grisham bunt even worse, is that in that situation that he was doing that. But anyway, since we did mention Abrams, wrap it up with him. And the one thing I'll just say is, to me, he did not look overmatched. Certainly not. I mean, I wouldn't have expected him to look overmatched in the field. But at the plate, I mean, I think he's one of nine or one of 10 or whatever he is. But he doesn't look hopeless up there as somebody – you know, who should be probably in AAA, maybe even AA at the moment. And not saying he won't be back there at some point, but he did not look overmatched at the plate. He hit a couple balls well. They had him played up the middle, and that's where he hit the ball. But, you know, and he certainly looked great in the field. So if you can tell anything from four games, he looks the part anyway.
I think you summed up what you can tell from four games. Throw in spring training, and it's obvious to anyone who talks to him, who watches him in drills, watches him interact with players, watches him play. He has an immense amount of confidence. I think Bob Melvin I've called it his sixth tool. Bob Melvin has called it his best tool, is that his belief in himself. Well, here's why belief in yourself matters. If you have the other five tools, you and I could go in there and fool ourselves into thinking but if you're C.J. Abrams and you actually believe that at 21, 76 games into your professional career, none above AA, that you belong here, well, then that makes your five tools better. I mean, look, like you said, he's got one hit in the field. He looks like he owns the place. And and I think that's a big deal.
Yeah. No, I see no reason why what they're doing with him and Kim won't continue, you know, for the foreseeable future right now.
Yep. I'm very fascinated by Ha-Sung Kim. I'll always preface this. I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach. I ask a lot of questions. I have to watch video 40 times that, you know, Michael Berdar and these players can watch once or twice, but I still don't have any idea how he is hitting the ball and actually looking better because he looks like the same guy, except for he's a little bit quicker and he's confident. And heck, again, there we go with confidence. Like, maybe that's a big part of it. He learned from the year. I want to tell, I think one of the best stories of spring is what Jeff Sanders did on Ha-Sung Kim. Look up that. He got some good stuff from Ha-Sung. Look up that story. I thought that was really interesting. Okay, Jay, here we go. Three, and then I'm coming home. I'm finally out of Arizona, which is phenomenal. So
welcome back to California, Kevin.
When I'm complaining about the 80-mile-an-hour wind and the cold tonight, that I'm finally out of Arizona. You should have seen the amount of guys the last 2 days. It was like it finally caught up with people in the front office, players, the Sudafed that was being passed out, and just Arizona wears you out.
Yep. They can. You can have it. Anyway, enjoy the three up there. We will not be able to do this before the home opener on Thursday. So everyone enjoy that if you're heading out there, and we will be back with you on Friday morning.
Maybe Mackenzie Gore Day. Talk to you later.
Let's hope.